Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio, our special Fast Lane pre-show edition of WrestleChat Radio. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing Fast Lane's rather unusual card tonight, as well as some SmackDown. We'll talk a little bit about some wrestling news, and hopefully we will be able to solidify a few things for WrestleMania after this pay-per-view event. Before we get started with the Fast Lane talk, however, there is a couple of news items that we want to get to. So let's start with the unfortunate passing of Barry Orton, who is the uncle of Randy Orton, dead at 62 years old. There is actually no cause of death listed. But for those people who may not remember, Barry Orton was one of the most outspoken people to come out of that ring boy scandal, as well as some of the scandal with some of the wrestlers being sexually harassed back in the early 80s. And you can still find some clips, I believe, on YouTube, other places, of Barry Orton making some very strong accusations against Terry Garvin, Mel Phillips, and specifically Pat Patterson, who he said basically harassed him for a position in the company. So I don't know how this all went down in recent years. I mean, obviously, Randy Orton has worked for the company forever. He's had to have probably quite a lot of dealing with Pat Patterson. And I don't know how this all went down with the rest of the family, but I do know that Barry Orton was adamant that there was a promoting nature of sexual harassment in the WWE, and he blamed it on his not being able to thrive in the WWE. So our condolences go out to his family. Obviously 62 years old, very young to pass away. Second bit of news is that there's a very strong rumor going around that perhaps all is not well with Charlotte Flair in the WWE, as she has been removed from some WrestleMania post and advertisement. Now, before everybody goes crazy, WrestleMania is 3 or 4 weeks away, and they're going to have different posters. They're going to change different things. But it is very unusual that posters that featured her, and remember, she has challenged Asuka, seem to have changed. Seems to have changed, folks. Very, very unusual. And I know there's a lot of speculation because of the fact that Andrade has basically, for lack of a better term, he's quit. You can't really quit, can you, if you're not being released? But he's issued a statement basically saying he doesn't intend to work for the company. And now we see Charlotte Flair being removed from some posters. And it's just interesting. The timing is very interesting because just before we went on the air, I found out that Rhea Ripley is indeed going to show up to Monday Night Raw tomorrow. Now, I had been told, and a lot of people had speculated, that they were waiting till after WrestleMania to introduce Rhea Ripley because they had all their ducks in a row for WrestleMania. And introducing Rhea Ripley a few weeks before WrestleMania and attempting to get her into a match or a storyline would have just been too hard. So the speculation was that they were just going to wait. Now that's not true. And now that is furthered. The speculation was Charlotte Flair. Maybe they're replacing her. Maybe something went down. I have no confirmation of that whatsoever. However, I will tell you the timing is odd. The timing is definitely odd. of Andretti sitting out his contract, Charlotte Flair being removed from posters and WrestleMania advertisements, and Rhea Ripley being called up. Now, there is another possible explanation. Flair has been signed to star in a remake of Walking Tall for the USA Network. And in order to film this, she's going to obviously need some time off. Now, you'd think that they would have known this before they advertised her to fight Asuka for WrestleMania. But there is some speculation that she needed the time, and they've changed their plans, and they've allowed her to have the time, and that we may indeed see Rhea Ripley versus Asuka instead of Charlotte. I don't know how they'll explain Charlotte's absence after she's already challenged her. But you see, this is an odd thing, isn't it? Because we're talking WrestleMania. We're not talking about Fastlane. We're not talking about some other pay-per-view. We're talking about a WrestleMania match as opposed to a role in a made-for-television movie. And if the role in the made-for-television movie takes precedent over your top show of the whole year, you've got to ask yourself why. And the simple question, simple answer, is the USA Network's calling the shots. Vince and company don't dare say no to the USA Network, I guess. If they say we need her, then they need her. But to be perfectly honest with you, nothing should take precedent over WrestleMania. Absolutely nothing. And if the USA Network valued their role as WWE's Monday Night Raw affiliate, you would think they would. So it could just be that. It could just be the USA Network need Charlotte Flair to film the third or the fourth reinstallment of Walking Tall? Or it could be something a little more serious. We're really not sure exactly why Charlotte Flair's kind of not been seen and been removed from posters, but Mike, there's a lot of speculation being fueled that it's either A, related to her fiancé Andretti, or B, it has something to do with this USA Network movie deal.
Right. And if it's B, then they better count their lucky stars. You know, the WWE better count their lucky stars if it's B, because B, then Charlotte's going to be back. Now, she may not end up in WrestleMania, but she'll be back. All right. But if it's A, and there's some definite friction there, and look, we talked about it before when she went off and copyrighted and trademarked other names than Charlotte, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's A, they're in serious trouble, and her contract comes up sometimes after WrestleMania, they're in trouble, and they're in big trouble.
Well, and it could be a combination of both, too. I mean, we don't really have to necessarily choose one. Maybe it's both. Maybe she needs the time off, but she's glad for the time off, and maybe she'll rethink her career. Who knows? Who knows what's going on? But I know that they've pulled her off some advertisement. And that's odd. And bringing up Rhea Ripley just a few weeks before WrestleMania. And I guess we'll see what happens Monday night. If they throw her immediately into an angle, then something's wrong. Normally the WWE doesn't bring somebody up just prior to WrestleMania like this and try to throw them into an angle so quickly because it feels rushed. They wait till after WrestleMania and then they get them involved in the picture. And that was the plan. From everything I've been told, that was the plan with Rhea Ripley. Wait till after WrestleMania, bring her up. My assumption was Charlotte was winning the belt. Rhea Ripley would confront Charlotte because they had their match in the past. And we would start to get a feud there with Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair, which would be a good feud. To have her rushed up like this means something's up. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. So it's very interesting, and we'll see what happens Monday night. Now let's get on a little bit to SmackDown. Because I really do think that this week's SmackDown made some very important moves. Very important moves. And good ones. Now, the one they did not make was the one right at the beginning. Sasha Banks challenging Nia Jax was a mistake. And that whole this whole entire thing has kind of collapsed like a house of cards. When they first started this out, Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks at WrestleMania, they anticipated that this was going to be one of the biggest matches they could put on in the women's division. And Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair have both promised we're going to set a tone for the women's division. Well, here's the problem with that. Do you have the athletic ability to do it? Probably. But you don't have the mic skills to do it, and you don't have the storyline to do it. And this thing has been collapsing week by week. Instead of interest peaking, interest is waning in this match. This match has went from it could close WrestleMania, or it could at least close night one of WrestleMania, to you're lucky if it's third up. There's no major interest in this match. There just isn't. And the reason is, there's a whole bunch of reasons. Let's start with the obvious. There's no real good guy. We were told, well, Bayley turned on Sasha. Sasha's a sympathetic character. To which Sasha just went on a rampage about how wonderful she is, how beautiful she is, how she's the boss, how she's this. And clearly, stayed heel. Bianca Belair, on the other hand, counters with, you're nothing, you're nobody, you're whatever, I'm the greatest, I'm the best, I do this, I can beat men in everything, I'm better than everybody in this federation times two. That's not a good guy either. That's not a face either. That's just an annoying person who has a really high opinion of themselves. So when it gets to be a catfight between two women with overly high opinions of themselves, nobody really takes a side. Then you had to add to the mix Reginald, this whole entire thing with them going for the tag team belts. And it's just become an absolutely overbooked mess of a gimmick. And one in which really nobody cares. Nobody is saying, oh, geez, I hope Sasha holds on to that belt, or oh, I hope Bianca Belair gets it. Nobody cares. Now, this is not a knock on these women. They're good athletes. I'm just telling you that this angle is terrible, and it's been handled in a terrible way. And someone should have put the bug in the ear of either Sasha Banks or Bianca Belair that clearly you two have almost the same gimmick. One is a little more material in Sasha Banks, and the other one's a little more along the line of Mr. Perfect. But in reality, it's the same thing. I'm the best. No, I'm the best. I'm the greatest women's wrestler. No, I'm the greatest women's wrestler. I'm the boss. No, I'm the boss. Okay. Well, no one cares about this. Become annoying. It's actually become annoying. So now they're faced with, two people who are not really anybody you're rooting for. Now, maybe they can turn this around tonight. I don't know. But I doubt it. I highly doubt it. And I think we are seeing the flaws in both of these women's game. And the flaws in both of these women's game is they're not great at selling their own fight. Sasha Banks is at home when she can be this egotistical, I'm the greatest thing in the world type female. A one-trick pony. She tried to be the sympathetic face. She can't do it. It's very hard to be a sympathetic face when you're being promoted as you can beat males in the gym, so it's very hard for Bianca Belair to be a sympathetic face. How is that going to work? So now you've run across this situation where you have two abrasive personalities going up against each other, and no one is really someone you want to root for. I think this match has fallen a lot, Mike, and just adding to it a title match at the front end of SmackDown so you could try to get some camaraderie, I guess, with Sasha and Bianca. Bianca trying to defend her so she doesn't lose the belt or whatever. It just seems forced and overbooked.
Right, and that's the thing. And think about it. I'm not at any time when Hennig was doing the Mr. Perfect deal, was he ever anything close to being a face. That gimmick did not lend to him being a face. Yeah, it caught on, and it caught on in a big way. And at some certain points, he did get cheered, but not very much. All right? That's where we are with Bianca Belair. Okay. What's her name thing is. I'm the boss. And we said, particularly when the whole thing with Stephanie McMahon and the authority were going on, that would have been the time to make Sasha Banks a kind of a pseudo face, because we know what Stephanie McMahon and them were going for with the authority at the time. And basically she's the boss and she owns the business, and that whole gimmick about I'm the boss, I'm this, I'm that, you know. That was when we should have saw Sasha as a face. This whole thing, I agree with you. This whole thing with Bianca Belair, it smacks of Kurt Hennig. It smacks of Mr. Perfect, you know. Now, given time, it could be a point in time when, much like Mr. Perfect, at some point she might have gotten some cheers, but not right now, you know.
And Sasha's not the right person to get her those cheers. That's the problem. That's where the problem lies. You might have got that from Nia Jax. You might even got it from Shayna Baszler. But not from Sasha. It's just the wrong person at the wrong time. Now, putting that aside for a minute, however, SmackDown did a lot right. And we'll just kind of encapsulate it a little bit. First off, I think they did a great service to the tag team division. We only have four tag teams. But now all four tag teams kind of feel like they're equal. I'm taking a look at these tag teams, and I'm saying any one of them really could be the champion. But I think it's a long time since we've had that feeling. So I think they did a great service to the tag team division. All four of these tag teams are legit. All four of them feel about equal. All four of them could potentially be the tag team champions. And I'm assuming we're going to get a four-way tag match at WrestleMania or something for these belts. And it will be interesting. It'll be quite interesting. Otis doing the dive was pretty damn impressive. And I think that finally we're starting to flesh out the tag team division. You could use another team. Four is not really enough. Five or six would be better. But at least you fleshed that out. Secondly, you finally did the right thing with not only Sami Zayn, but Kevin Owens. How long have we waited for this? You would think that if Sami Zayn felt slighted, Sami Zayn felt set upon, Sami Zayn felt like he was being picked on, the one person he would turn to out of everyone would be his longtime friend Kevin Owens to say, hey, Kevin, have you got my back? This is what we've been waiting for. I don't know what took you this long. Kevin Owens did a particularly good job of saying, I'm not seeing it, Sammy, but I'm willing to look. I mean, if you got some proof, yeah, show it to me. I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm not saying the WWE's above it. I don't see it. So, yeah, if you can show me some proof, I'm with you. It's a great move. Because if he just dismissed him and said, nah, you're full of crap, Sammy. You're blaming your problems on other people. It would have looked like he wasn't as good a friend. To say, no, I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt. If you got some proof, let me see it. It's good. I thought Kevin Owens did a good job of it. I also thought they did a good job of matching him up with Baron Corbin. They should do this more often. it was obvious that Corbin and him were not seeing eye to eye. Why can't you have two heels fight each other? Why not? That's a good move. Also a good move is, for God's sake, you're finally using Shinsuke Nakamura. We're going to get that match tonight, and I really am looking forward to that. I think we might get that match tonight. In fact, I know we're getting the match tonight. It's listed, right? That's going to be a great match. We'll talk about that in a minute. It's about time you've used Shinsuke Nakamura. And he used him the right way, by the way. Also, I thought that, obviously, the whole Daniel Bryan thing, all that's running well. There's no question in my mind that we're looking at a three-way dance at WrestleMania. Otherwise, I have no idea why you're going through all this pomp and circumstance. And we had called for that on this show for a while. Because we said Edge is not going to be able to carry this by himself. I think if you saw the main event, you understand Edge can't carry this by himself. Three-way dance will help Edge immeasurably. Immeasurably. So there's a lot of good on this show. But I want to note two things, two very important things. Because people say I don't give the WWE credit enough when they do good things. So I'm going to prove you wrong. First off, you have to take your hat off to Seth Rollins, and here's why. It is my belief that Seth Rollins is going to be cycled down a little bit. He's going to probably win tonight. I don't think he's going to beat Cesaro at WrestleMania. And Seth Rollins, I think, fully understands that he's got to put some people over now, and he's doing it well. I mean, he sold the Cesaro swing right out of his jacket. He sold the Shinsuke Nakamura's finisher well. And we're seeing a different side of Seth Rollins, aren't we? We're not seeing that guy that says, I'm not afraid of anybody, and I always have the upper hand, to the guy who really almost never has the upper hand. He's almost always battling from behind. He's almost always the guy that gets humiliated and left in the ring. And he's willing to do it. And not only is he willing to do it, he's doing it really well. He's doing it with a passion. So good for him. Secondly, I feel very vindicated, and everyone on this panel should feel very vindicated, because in an age where everyone was saying Roman Reigns is not a good professional wrestler, we always said, not only is he a good professional wrestler, he's a very underrated professional wrestler. And if you give him something good to do, you'll see that. Roman Reigns' promos have been fantastic. His facial expressions, his mannerisms. And I got to tell you that when they introduced this thing where Daniel Bryan said, I am going to tap you out, and Roman Reigns said, I would rather die in the middle of the ring than tap out to you, I'm saying to myself, something's going to happen tonight. You can't make these kind of claims and then nothing happens. Something big is going to happen tonight. And we'll get to that in a little while, but I mean, they've changed my whole perspective on Fastlane just with this promo. And if you watch Roman Reigns very carefully, you will see Roman Reigns clearly saying that nobody's going to tap me out. But you can see in his facial expression, he knows Daniel Bryan can't. That's not easy to do. It's not easy to convey that emotion to the fans. Roman Reigns is an excellent professional wrestler. No, he's not going to give you a five-star match. But he's going to sell his match. He's going to sell his feud. He's going to make you believe it. And that's better. I'm at a loss for people who say, I'd rather have a five-star match between two guys I don't care who wins than a three-and-a-half or a four-star match where I really am invested in who wins. Because I'd rather have the investment in who wins. And now I'm saying to myself, well, something's going to happen. because Daniel Bryan just can't lose like a dog. Now, before I thought that stuff was going to happen. I said, Daniel Bryan's going to get his ass beat. Edge is going to have to save him. We're going to be looking at Roman Reigns as, oh, man, he took away Daniel Bryan's dream, and now he's going to say, now I'm going to take away Edge's dream. And that's going to be the big WrestleMania thing. Now I'm looking at it saying, I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't. There's more to this. And the reason I'm thinking that is because of their performances, both Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. It is not easy to keep up with Daniel Bryan on a microphone. I have a lot of disagreements with Daniel Bryan as far as outside the ring. But inside the ring, Daniel Bryan is a great professional wrestler. And he's great on the microphone. And Roman Reigns has really went that extra mile. So for all of those people back then who were telling us we were crazy, Mike, when we said, you give Roman Reigns something good to do and watch, we should feel vindicated. It's very obvious that he's excelling at this.
Right, and that's the thing. You know, and he is a great professional wrestler, but he's even better when he's matched up with another great professional wrestler. Because he doesn't, right now, he don't really have to, carry the interviews. Yeah, he has Paul Heyman there to help him out, all right? But as long as you've got Daniel Bryan there, who's a great talker, he can carry those promos, all right? That's what, when you're matching him up, yeah, Roman Reigns is a talker, a good talker, but he's not Daniel Bryan on the mic. He just isn't, and that's no doubt. Now, as far as Seth Rollins goes, Marcus, you're right. And this is, I think these are the first steps into what we said should happen. We know that Becky Lynch is coming back, and we know what's going to happen when she sticks her head out of that curtain. We know it. I mean, the roof is going to blow off the place. And we know right now he's kind of, Seth Rollins is kind of in a middle ground, gray heel face, more lean to the heel side of it, but he's still in that heel mode. Well, you cycle him down a bit, then you give him a couple of weeks off before Becky Lynch comes back. Then they can stick their heads out of the curtain at the same time, and the roof's going to blow off the place for both of them.
Yeah, I think that's the plan. I think the plan is let's cycle Rollins down, get what you can out of him out of the heel thing, and disappear for a little bit. When he comes back, it'll be a different perspective, and he'll say, this whole being a father thing was very taxing on me, and it was a surprise, and it was this and that, and I went a little overboard, and I did this and that. And, yeah, very easily rehabbed into a face. Very easily rehabbed into a face, and there's a lot of mileage there if you want to try to do a Seth Rollins-Roman Reigns feud. Now, as far as Reigns, no, he's not Daniel Bryan on the microphone, but I'll tell you what he actually may be better than Daniel Bryan at. And that is facial expressions. Daniel Bryan tends to just do the sarcastic facial expressions. I could look in Roman Reigns' face and say, when Roman Reigns is saying, ain't nobody tapping me out, and you could see the doubt. That's a good actor. A lot of people can't do that facial expression thing. He's not as good on the mic as far as his words, but I do think that Roman Reigns has come a long way with his facial expressions. And he can convey those emotions. And this has really made me interested in this match. So I think this is a really good SmackDown. Because I see a lot of branches on trees. I see a lot of storylines that I'm saying, Then we got Big E, who I thought this was one of the better parts of the show. And I'm going to give a ton of credit to Apollo Crews for this, too. Big E cut a really good promo and then says, I'm just not waiting until Fastlane. Apollo Crews, to his credit, say, oh, get me out of here, or what's going on, or whatever. He just gets up, starts unbuttoning his stuff like, let's go. You want it done now? Let's do it. And I'm saying to myself, this is good. This reminds me of old school wrestling where they're just like, listen, let's do this. I'm very interested in this match. Now, this match is going to be important. We'll get to it when we start the review in a minute. It's a very important match in both of these guys' careers, and it's a weird match because you've painted yourself into a corner, I think. But as far as the performance is concerned, both of these guys did an excellent job, and I'm interested in their characters. So now all of a sudden, I'm looking over on SmackDown, and I'm saying, hey, you can rehab Shinsuke a little bit. Didn't what's going on with Sami Zayn suddenly, and I sure as hell wasn't a week ago. I sure as hell wasn't interested in anything Kevin Owens had to do. Now I am. The tag team division was not great. Now I'm starting to pick up a little bit of interest in it. I think Seth Rollins is doing a good job. I'm very interested in the main event of Fastlane here and where this is going to lead into WrestleMania. And suddenly I'm looking at Fastlane and I'm saying, I'm liking this card. I'm actually liking this card. And a lot of it had to do with this week's go-home show. So for that reason, I'm giving this an A. I think that even though the Sasha Banks thing was horrible, and those two don't work well together, by the way. You know, you can only suspend your disbelief so much. And when you see a gigantic woman like Nia Jax get flipped around by Sasha Banks, you're just like, yeah, no. And unfortunately, Nia doesn't have the athletic ability to sell it. So everything she does looks like I did that on purpose. Oh, yeah, I missed that into the turnbuckle and kind of very carefully landed. None of it looks real. Nia Jax's natural body motion just does not I don't think she's a good professional wrestler. I just don't. She's not physical enough for a woman her size. She can't make it look real. Anytime she's selling, she looks phony because she won't throw her body into it because she's afraid. She's afraid of getting hurt. So when she throws herself to the buckle, when she throws herself out of the ring, when she lands hard on the canvas, you can tell she's not. You can tell she's being super careful. She doesn't take a real bump. And I mean, she can't bump all over the ring for somebody the size of Sasha anyway. As far as Shayna Baszler, I feel bad for Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler is a legit athlete who should be able to really excel and be a top women's wrestler in this federation. And for whatever reason it happens to be, I don't think Vince likes her. And I don't think anything's going to come of it. But despite that, Mike, I'm still going to give it an A because I think they've really tried hard and I see some really good things coming on in the future. So what's your rating this week on SmackDown?
I'm going to give it a little bit worse than that. I'm going to go A-. But I do see some positive things. And look, we didn't even touch on the fact of how good, what's her name? How good Natty and Tamina look. And let's compare Tamina, and Tamina has more body control, more of an athletic ability at her late age, after she's had a couple of babies, than the much younger Nia Jax does. I mean, you could put her against what's her name? And you would buy that match, you know, because of her athletic ability. And yeah, she at times she comes up as a Tamina comes off as a wind-up doll, but she has a better athletic ability than Nia Jax does. She can take and give bumps better than Nia Jax does, and she's, I don't want to say safer, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, she can ply her trade.
Yep. The problem is both of these women, I mean, Natty is probably arguably one of the best overall, if not the best, technically, wrestler there, but nobody cares. That's the problem. She has been overused and underused to the point where Natty is just a warm body. Nobody's going to buy into her. Nobody's going to feel, we hope Natty wins. We hope Natty loses. Nobody cares. And that's exactly the same thing with Tamina Snuka. I don't know if you can rehab them because nobody cares about them. You'd have to totally reinvent their character, and WWE's shown an unwillingness to do that. And if they won't do it for Shayna Baszler, I find it very hard to believe they'll do it for Tamina. I mean, Tamina cut a couple of promos where she was going to try to do like some kind of crazy woman who was in an asylum. They wouldn't even let her do that. They won't let her do anything. So her personality is so blasé. I don't think anybody cares about Natty and Tamina and interjecting them into that match. That's where the problem is. And you're getting the same thing with Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. Okay, they're two good athletes, but nobody cares. You're going to have to flesh these characters out if you want them to mean something. By the way, a good point was made the other day. I'd made this point myself, but talking to someone who said, have you noticed that the WWE is starting to book people who genuinely are friends, close friends, to have these matches because they know that they'll go out and kick each other in the head. They don't care. No hard feelings. You know, if that's your best friend or one of your best friends, you're like, yeah, we're just going to go beat the hell out of each other. And that's fine. I know he's not going to try to hurt me, and I'm not going to try to hurt him, but we're going to go beat our, you know, each other's asses. Well, they're doing it again, aren't they, with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. That whole Uber kick looked like it hurt. Sami didn't hold back. Now, if that had been, I don't know, Baron Corbin or whoever, Sami Zayn might not have felt as comfortable saying, I'm just laying one right in. But when it's Kevin Owens and it's one of your best friends, your best friend already, it's already built into the mix that, all right, if you really give me a good one, it's no hard feelings. You know, there's not going to be any problem with it. I know you're not doing it on purpose. It's the case with Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. So, yeah, the WWE is doing that. And it's a good idea because I think we're going to see some good matches. If you're going to tell me I'm getting Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn at WrestleMania in a good 10, 15-minute match, good. Good. I think that'll be great. Let's flesh that story out more, though. I want to see more of that story. All right, so let's get to the predictions. Because I know Derek in the chat room is chomping at the bit to talk about Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton, but unfortunately, I think I'm about to break his heart. They will not touch each other. I promise you they will not touch each other. The way this thing is going to go down is pretty obvious. Alexa Bliss is going to saunter around the ring, and Randy Orton's going to second-guess himself. Should I do this? Should I not even do this? What should I do? At some point, if he does touch her, or even if he doesn't, she's going to tell him to punt kick her, or she's going to tell him to RKO her. He's going to make the motion. The lights are going to go out, and when it comes back on, the Fiend is going to be there. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Alexa Bliss has went through some issues where she's been out for long periods of time with injury. She's not risking anything like this. Absolutely not doing it. And Randy Orton's certainly not going to risk being someone who screws up and hurts her. So, yeah, this is going to be one of those things where they just never touch. And or if they do, it's going to be so minimal. So for the benefit of people who think we're going to see an intergender match, you're not going to see an intergender match. I will be so shocked if they even do two moves. I think this is just going to be stall tactics, and then the Fiend shows up. I do know this. It better be a very dramatic entrance for the Fiend because we've waited a long time. The thing that's going to make this odd, though, Mike, is Randy Orton is supposed to be an extraordinarily smart individual. You don't think he is supposed to smell that the Fiend is showing up? Why would Alexa Bliss challenge him? You know what I mean? It would seem like Randy Orton would say, yeah, that's an excuse for the Fiend to show up. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, not, and one other thing, not that they could. I mean, he's already RKO'd her once, right?
Yeah, they can do that because it's so weak. Yeah.
Right. So, and look, and here's how it might go down if they do that. He RKOs her, but as he RKOs her, the lights go out, and when we hear him land, the lights come back on. Instead of her, it's the Fiend there.
Yeah, that, look, that's what's happening. We already know. We're only 3 weeks out of WrestleMania. The Fiend and Randy Orton got to start their feud. They're starting it tonight. So we're not going to see any intergender match. Now, if you really wanted to see an intergender match, the WWE can put one on. My goodness, they have some people there. They were going to for a while, if you remember. They were going to do Ambrose and Nia Jax, which I'm glad they didn't. Nia's not the person to do it. But certainly you could do it with Charlotte. You could do it with Asuka. You could do it with Shayna Baszler. There are people you could do it with if you really wanted to. I don't think the WWE necessarily wants to. They've shown no interest in it. And if they're going to, it's not going to be with Alexa Bliss. It's just not going to be. So my prediction for this is it's not a match. The Fiend is going to show up. Barry Orton. And that's going to be the start of this feud to WrestleMania. So let's go with the other women's match, which is the Tag Team Championship match. Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. Obviously versus Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. I got to tell you that 99% of me says they would never give the belt to Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. But there's that 1% of me that says it might be better if they did. And here's why. I get this feeling that they want Nia and Shayna Baszler to fight. After what happened on Friday night, it certainly looked like Shayna Baszler kicked her on purpose. Now, either they wanted to make it look like Shayna Baszler really did kick her on purpose, or Shayna Baszler didn't do a good job. Because if they wanted that to look like an accident, that did not look at all like an accident. That looked like a purposeful kick to the head. So if they want that, you may as well take the belts off them. If this is what you're going to do going into WrestleMania, Shayna Baszler versus Nia Jax, by all means, take the belts off them. Now, I would not hate a match at WrestleMania between the tag team champions in which both of them kind of are leaning toward heel. Because I think Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair would make a great heel tag team. Problem is you got Sasha with the belt on the solo belt on her waist. They got to get that off her if that's what you want to do. But I'm not 100% sure they won't do it because it would add some interest to this match. And right now there's none. So if they go in and say, well, we're the tag team champions and that we got to fight each other, it might actually be more interesting to some people than just Bianca Belair versus Sasha by themselves. So my opinion's changed a little bit, Mike. I had said this is a no-brainer. They're absolutely not winning the belts. But I'm not sure I can say that 100% now because there is an argument to be made that if they do, it might add something to the match.
Yeah, and look, they could call themselves the best of the best, right? You got the Boss and the EST of WWE or whatever, the best of the best, you know, that type of thing. But, yeah, and we've always stated that where they were headed with the Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler thing was a feud, right? Well,
yep.
That was the start of it. We need to have the completion of it now. You know, Shayna Baszler is not going to be able to be that deliberate type of person that she usually is because of not of who she's against. Usually, Shayna Baszler is a slow, deliberate, you know, go at a snail's pace type of person. She's going to have to step up the speed and step up the athleticism with because she needs to move, in other words, if they're going to do that with her and what you call it. And look, I wouldn't be at all surprised that they do this whole thing again if they put the belts on Banks and and Belair that within probably next week we're going to start to see, well, maybe not next week, but within a couple of weeks we're going to start to see cracks in the armor between Belair and Banks.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt about that because they got to fight at WrestleMania. I just, the problem with Shayna Baszler versus Nia Jax is who you root for. Shayna Baszler doesn't make a very good face. Nia Jax certainly doesn't. So once again, you're in that position where you're like, I don't care who wins. And I don't like those type of matches. I really think it's extraordinarily important in the business of professional wrestling to have somebody to root for, to have somebody you identify with. And if you don't, I just don't see – it's the equivalent, again, of watching a baseball game with two teams that you don't even care about. Okay, you like baseball. So you're like, maybe I'll just watch this because I like baseball, but you don't really care who wins. So if you get a phone call, you got to go out, you're like, ah, who cares? Don't really care who won anyway. That's not what you want from a professional wrestling match. I mean, the whole point of a professional wrestling match is you want someone to care who's winning. I don't see him being able to turn Shayna Baszler face. She just, there's nothing about her that screams face, nor Nia Jax, because she's really unpopular in real life with people. She tends to be a little bit self-righteous. Especially on Twitter. So I don't know. I don't know where this is going. If I had to make an educated guess, Mike, I'll say that Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax hang on to the titles, but there's some dissension in the ranks. So I'll say they walk out with the belt still. What's your prediction?
You know what? I'm going to go the other way, and I'm going to say Banks and Belair get the belts, and we start to see the whole build-up to WrestleMania with those two. You know, because that's where the interest is going to lie with those two. If they have the belt, you know, can they stay together? How long can they stay together? Who's going to beat them? And then, of course, you know, we know that probably that Sasha is not going to be defending the world belt, the SmackDown ladies belt, all that often. So they'll have time to play that up. Yeah, they'll have a few defenses here and there, but not all that often because they gotta be together and all that stuff. But yeah, I want to go with Sasha and Belair, Banks and Belair over these two guys because I want to see that other match and I want to see. Yeah, and to tell you the truth, I'm still waiting and I don't know if they're still on the roster, but Shafir and Duke.
Yeah, I don't even know, where they are. I have no idea where they are. After what happened, though, with Natty and Tamina, and then you've got, of course, Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose, I got this feeling they're going to leave those tag team belts where they are and do some kind of a multiple women's tag team match at WrestleMania, which would leave Sasha and Bianca out of it, which would mean they couldn't possibly win tonight. So I'm still going to say somehow Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler come out with it, but I do think they're probably going to get into it. So let's go to Seth Rollins versus Nakamura. This one should be pretty obvious. I'm okay with Seth Rollins winning this. I'm not okay with Seth Rollins squashing this. So I hope that they use this opportunity because Nakamura is most definitely losing. So now the question is, how do you make the most out of this? Personally, I would have Buddy Murphy attack Nakamura or something. Set something up for tomorrow, for Friday night or whatever night you want to set it up for, or WrestleMania if you want to. But don't throw Nakamura completely out. Make Seth Rollins look strong, but also look like he's a shortcut artist. Maybe you have Cesaro come out to try to help. At some point, you got to really start this feud in earnest with this match. Now, I think Seth Rollins has all the respect in the world for Nakamura, and I think he's going to sell plenty to him. And this could be one of the better matches. I mean, just think about it for a minute. If you allow Seth Rollins and Nakamura to do some of the things they can do, you got a pretty good match. Now, can it be a 19-minute epic, anybody-can-win match? Well, probably not, because then you're saying to yourself, well, Jesus, he could barely beat Nakamura, and he should be able to beat Cesaro, too. I get it. He's going to have a decisive victory over Cesaro, even if it's a cheating decisive victory. Or, I mean, over Nakamura to set up Cesaro. But as long as you're going to set up Cesaro, please set up Nakamura, too. Set him up with something. Because if he just goes down in a blaze of glory, I don't know what's next for Nakamura. Not much. Not too much. I'm beginning to believe, though, that the WWE is starting to hit a little bit of a stride with this. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, Mike, and say they'll probably set something decent up for Nakamura. I think this could be one of the sleeper matches of the night. I'm really looking forward to this. I'll obviously take Seth Rollins to win, though.
Pick Seth Rollins to win, too. But I think this match is going to go a long way, because I've seen it over the last few weeks that they're trying to flip Nakamura. All right? They've changed his music. They've had him change his not attitude, but the way he carries himself. You know, he doesn't carry himself like the arrogant heel type guy like he was. You know, they've changed a lot of stuff. They've had him change a lot of stuff about himself and a lot of stuff in terms of his ring gear and music and stuff. And so I think they're on the way to making him a face, and the fact of the matter is he's probably been a heel too long. It's time for him to be a face, and this could go a long way. And if it does end up that there's some cheating, some chicanery going on from Seth Rollins' side, and let's just say for the sake of argument, there's some chicanery going on, and then as it's going on, we don't see Cesaro show up, and later on we find out that something happened to Cesaro and he could show up. Then you know what I'm saying is true about them flipping Nakamura. Yeah, it's gonna be Seth Rollins winning this thing, because they gotta show up. They gotta start promoting that match between him and Cesaro.
And I think to a certain extent they already kind of have with Nakamura. I mean, he's coming out in defense of Cesaro. Cesaro obviously is flipped because Seth is the main heel. But I think they already kind of are. I mean, they maybe have not made it solidified yet. But to come out and tell Seth Rollins to basically shut up and attack him, I think that's kind of Nakamura's I flipped moment. And this will probably solidify it even more. Nakamura still has quite a bit to offer. We'll see if they use him past this. Because I know that, Nakamura sometimes likes to troll people too, but there was a Twitter thing in which someone had said basically that Nakamura was being misused and don't know why he stays in the WWE. And somebody had written, well, he's happy. That's why. He's happy with the money. He's happy he gets to go surfing and do what he needs to do, and he's completely happy. And Nakamura wrote back and said, who said I'm happy? So we'll see. That could just be him trolling people. But it could be Nakamura saying, I have no intention of re-signing my contract. If that's the case, they're just going to use up Nakamura. Why wouldn't they? Which would be a shame, because I still say, even with his limited grasp of the language, he's still very charismatic and you can use him. He's probably more charismatic than Cesaro. It's just that Cesaro has been the fans' underdog for so long. Fans have been wanting him to excel for so long. The Cesaro section was just an organic thing that just really happened. That I think fans will be really happy if Cesaro gets his big push. This could be the start of Cesaro's push. And I'd love to see it. if anybody deserves it. And Cesaro's another guy whose contract is coming up and has said he's not really happy with his position, and you can't really blame him. See, the problem is not everybody can be the champion. Not everybody can be in the title picture as one of the top guys or the main event guys. We all know that. But I think most of these guys just want to be utilized in a way that they say, well, you're important. You may not be in the championship contention right now, but you're still an important cog in the wheel in this company. Some of these guys don't feel that way. And to be honest, it's because they aren't. So we'll see. Let's go to Big E versus Apollo Crews, because this one is tough. The reason it's tough is this. You can't really take this belt off Big E so quickly. Because if you do, it doesn't really speak very highly of Big E. He hasn't defended it that many times. By the same token, you have just flipped Apollo Crews into probably the best form of his character he's had, and he can't take a loss. I mean, if he just gets pinned 1-2-3 here, what happens to his character? It just becomes a jabron now, right? What does he do? Floats around, has feuds with people that are meaningless, nobody cares, right? He can't do it. So you've kind of painted yourself in the corner. I don't think there's going to be a winner tonight, because I think this is going to go on to WrestleMania. But even at WrestleMania, this is going to be an interesting match. I guess you could make an argument you could give Apollo Crews the belt at WrestleMania and not have it hurt Big E that much. But, I mean, if I were booking this, I'd have those two military guys at some point in the match just attack Big E, beat the hell out of him. Disqualification. Set up something for WrestleMania where they're barred from ringside and let this feud continue. I don't think there should be a winner tonight. But because we can't really do that, and we're kind of relegated to picking a winner, I'll say that Apollo Crews wins, but not the belt. He'll win by DQ, count out, something, to stretch this on to WrestleMania. I don't think there's any definitive winner tonight, because I don't know what they do for WrestleMania then, unless they plan a multi-man match for this belt too. And if they're going to have multi-man matches for every belt, it's going to be pretty damn boring at WrestleMania. Every match, multi-man match for belt. And I already think they're going to do it with the tag team belts. And I already think they might do it with the women's tag team belt. But let's hope they don't do it with this one too. So I think somehow Apollo wins, but Big E maintains the belt. Mike, what do you think?
I think so, too. And furthermore, I mean, if those two guys get involved, you know what? That would maybe, we will never, I don't know if those two, I guess those two guys are trainees, those two military guys are trainees, right?
So I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah, I would assume so. And you know what? You know what might could happen? We might could see a pseudo reunion of the New Day. I know they're
absolutely
on. I know Kofi and Xavier are on the other show. But if you got three guys going up against Big E, well, how's that fair, right?
Yep. That's my exact thought. Is if they have these other two guys and they really want to do something with them and make them a tag team, perhaps. You might see the New Day, you know, come to their friend's defense at some point. Maybe not tonight, but next time or whatever. And we have a little something. We have a branch on a tree. Yeah, I'm all for it. Now, has Apollo Crews proved that this new character is good enough to hold this belt? Probably not. He did a decent promo. And, okay, he's much better than he was. But is there going to be a lot of interest in this character? Well, we don't know yet. This is a good way to find out. If he gets a victory tonight but doesn't win the belt, let's see what happens on the road to WrestleMania. Let's see if he can build up enough momentum to deserve to have the belt. Because right now, just saying, well, he's a new character, and we want to make him look tough, and we want to make him look, so hand him the belt, that's not the answer. Because then you're just going to have to take it right off him if it fails. The answer is to flesh him out a little bit and see how the fans feel. Right now, the fans are into it, but he hasn't done much. Let's cut a few more promos. Let's get see where this character's going. And then if it's he's worthy to hold it, absolutely give it to him. But this is I think this is too soon. I don't want to see him get pinned either. But I'll take a double count out or a disqualification or whatever it happens to be, I'll take that so that you give us some time on the road to WrestleMania here to see if he can build enough momentum to actually be worthy of holding this belt. Right now, I think it's too early to say. So I guess they've reinstated the Shane versus Braun match. I have no idea why. This is the one I'm least looking forward to. If I were booking this, which I'm not, obviously, this would be a fake match. In other words, this would just be a four-minute match to have Shane introduce a new wrestler to beat the hell out of Braun Strowman so Braun Strowman can fight this new wrestler at WrestleMania. Because no one wants to see Shane and Braun Strowman at WrestleMania. No one does. It doesn't even make any sense. He should be able to snap Shane McMahon in two. And there's no reason for Shane McMahon to even be mad at Braun Strowman, so the whole feud is a pointless mess. Now, it will not be pointless if that Dabba Kato guy or somebody else that Shane wants to introduce comes out of nowhere with a better gimmick or a new gimmick and destroys Braun Strowman tonight and leaves him laying. And Shane McMahon says, this is my new guy. Now, how could you justify that? I'll tell you how you could justify that. You could say Braun Strowman showed up at Underground when we were not ready. We were a fledgling idea. And Braun Strowman, who's been in this federation for years, as one of the toughest guys here, showed up and took advantage and destroyed our guys and got us thrown off the air, basically, because he made it look like we couldn't hang. But that's not true. And now this is the revenge. Okay, well, then maybe we got something. Maybe if you want to introduce a new wrestler, by all means. Let's see what he's got. But if you're leading this to Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman at WrestleMania, and you're just going to stall this match out and do it again, I don't know what the hell you're thinking. And then this is just Shane McMahon's ego. Oh, I want to be in WrestleMania. Well, nobody wants to see this. I'm sorry, nobody does. So one of two things has to happen. Either Braun Strowman's got to destroy Shane McMahon, and that leads to something at WrestleMania, with Shane trying to get some revenge. Or Shane's got to introduce a wrestler tonight and say that's what this whole thing was about. It wasn't about Braun Strowman being dumb. It wasn't about me wanting to fight Braun Strowman. It was about me baiting Braun Strowman into accepting a fight so I could set him up. Because anything less than that, Mike, and this angle is just, you know, it's beyond silly and no one wants to see it.
Right. If it's anything beyond that, yeah. And it doesn't have to be that guy, you know. It doesn't have to be Kato, whatever his name was. I mean, they could run that thing. I mean, it might have to be him if they're going to run the whole thing about, You made Underground look like a fool and this, that, and the other. It could be that. It has to be that guy if it's that. But if it's not, if it's just him introducing some other guy, it could be Dan Matha. It could be anybody, any other guy that's either hasn't shown up, that's down in NXT or hasn't shown up on NXT yet. You know, it could be anybody, you know. Any big, hulking guy, you know? Because, I mean, look, we've said about they basically ruined him when they allowed, what's his name, to go from the big, hulking guy to the basically the bodybuilder. right? He ruined
it. Yeah.
He's just another guy now. Yeah, he's 6'8". But when he was 400 pounds, 6'8", 400 pounds, that's a scary dude. That's a guy that you could buy tipping over an ambulance or ripping the door off of a limousine or something like that. So that was that guy. He was that guy, you know. And basically they ruined him by either allowing him or telling him to lose all that weight, you know.
Not only that, but when he did, he lost his image. They let him talk too much, too. When Braun Strowman just said a few words and comes stumbling out as this big powerlifting-looking Hulk of a monster of a guy, this is like your ultimate nightmare of I'm traveling through the Appalachian Mountains and my car breaks down and this guy stumbles out of the woods from some shack. And you're just like, well, I'm done. Then all of a sudden he became, oh, no, I'm very articulate. I'm very smart. Career goal-oriented mind. And I work out a lot in the gym, and I'm watching what I eat. Well, then there it goes. There goes the whole image. He went from this horror movie sort of a, Jesus, you don't want to see that guy in your nightmares, to, oh, well, he's just another hardworking, dedicated pro wrestler who's slimming down and watching what he eats and trying to get to the title. Bad mistake. Bad mistake. It ruined Braun Strowman. He was a legit scary individual. Legit. And there's something to be said about that. I mean, for a while, we were very afraid he was actually undermining Bray Wyatt, because as scary as Bray Wyatt was, he wasn't that scary. And we thought, geez, he's going to be the big cheese. He's gonna outshadow Bray Wyatt. But we found that the WWE has this habit of destroying people. And boy, did they ever destroy Braun Strowman. And now it's gotten to the point where he has to sell to Shane McMahon. So all we can hope for is this is a swerve match where something happens. Otherwise, Braun Strowman's got to win this match and just be done with it. Please be done with it. I don't want to see another one at WrestleMania. And I don't care what the stipulations are. I just don't want to see it. So let's go to Matt Riddle versus Ali. I don't know why he's having this match, because Ali got pinned. In the world of the WWE, if you lose a title match, you get another one. You lose that one, you get another one. Eventually, your odds say you're going to win one, and you're the champion, even though you're 90% losing ratio. I won 1 out of 10. I'm the champion. I mean, that's just dumb. But I'll tell you what else is dumb if he loses again. What's the damn point? If you have Ali lose, turn right around and lose again, the hell was the point of the match? Now, I got to tell you that I'm not a fan of Ali. And I'll say openly, it's not for anything he does in the ring. Ali got on my bad side when he literally tweeted to Jackson Ryker, I'm happy now that you tweeted this, because now I know the person you really are. Now I know how you feel about minorities, and I know how you feel about the people who are struggling to find equality. Spare me your nonsense. The goddamn city was burning, you moron. People were setting fire to buildings with children in them and blocking the firemen from getting in. So spare me your false moral outrage if a man says, hey, I'm glad the president's taking strong action against these rioters. Never once did he say, I don't think Black Lives Matter. Never once did he say, I'm not for equality. Never once did he say, they have a legitimate cause, but, you can't be burning buildings down. No, that's all in your mind. I don't know who you are. You think you're saying? It's not like you're Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's not like you're a guy who's been there for 20 years and accomplished all kinds of things. I can say what I want. You're a low man on the totem pole. You're one step above Riker. Who the hell do you think you are to mouth off to somebody? Good thing it wasn't me. Because I don't want looking for you and straighten you out. You don't get to say what I mean. You don't get to project your idea of what I mean onto me. From what I understand, all Riker meant to say was, during a time when there's a lot of violence going on and cops are being shot and buildings are being set on fire, I'm glad we have strong leadership. Now, you may not think it's strong leadership, and that's your right. But you don't have the right to then project, well, then you must be a racist. Because that's bull. And that's you being a whiner and a sissy. And I lost a lot of respect for Ali. Because Ali, supposedly, I was in law enforcement. Well, yeah, if you're in law enforcement, then why are you not crying about a man who's trying to defend his friend's television shop when they shoot him in the head? A police officer, retired, who gets shot in the head while a group of people stand around and videotape his dying moments on camera live on YouTube. Think that's social justice? Well, nobody called an ambulance. Let's just film him dying. Oh, he's black, by the way. But you don't care, right? So I don't like Ellie. Think he's an idiot. But as far as being an idiot is concerned, you have the right to be an idiot. I think Matt Riddle's an idiot, too. So I really don't care who wins. But I'm going to tell you this. If Ali does not win, pack your shit. Because if the WWE thinks so little of you that you actually lose a match on Raw and then you have the rematch and you lose again, I have no idea what they got in mind for you, but nothing. Nothing. Go join Ricochet Catering. And I know those are harsh words, but listen, the bottom line of the situation is this. You bring it on yourself. You bring it on yourself when you start doing stupid things like this. Just live and let live. People have differences of opinion. You want to start being the moral arbiter of the world, then don't. If you're going to judge us or me, don't complain when I judge you. Because it doesn't work just one way. So what do I think? I think Ali's losing. I think they're breaking up the retribution. The best thing that could happen is they just beat the hell out of Ali, tell him you're not the leader anymore, kick him to the curb, let Dijakovic take over, and maybe do some stuff with him. Because at this point, retribution's just a joke. And Ali being their leader, that's been a joke since day one. That's been a joke since day one. Because it doesn't even make any tangible sense. How come he's not wearing a mask? How come he didn't change his name? None of it makes any sense. How come they're lumberjacks? I thought they didn't follow the rules. I thought they weren't WWE lackeys who did whatever they were told. And yet when Adam Pearce snaps his fingers, I'll go be a lumberjack. Makes no sense. The whole thing makes no sense. It should just be dissolved. You got some good people here. I got a newsflash for you. Dijakovic's a really good wrestler. Him and Keith Lee put on some great matches. Could do it again. It's not going to happen when you have this silly thing going on. So, rant aside, Mike, I don't see Riddle losing.
Right. And I don't think he's losing either. And the fact of the matter is look, he's in a thing that's going nowhere, number one. And look, Get off of Jackson Riker for having that opinion. Furthermore, look, you're in a gone nowhere supposedly antagonist group. Whereas, as I recall, back when he was in Impact, Riker and Eddie Kingston and James Storm. What was the name of that group they went again? I'm blanking on the name, but they were. Yep, they were. They were in the. Basically, it was the same type of group, and they were a much more successful group. Now, granted, when they took the mask off, we've gotten into that before. When they took the mask off, that was a mistake, but it was a more successful group, and it was a group that was a scary group for the time being, you know. So, get over yourself, Ali. You're just another small guy.
And that group, whatever it was called, I forget. When that first happened, and I first saw some of those vignettes, I said, this is the greatest thing I've seen in 5 years. If they do this right, this is going to be the coolest thing maybe ever. And then they blew it by making James Storm one of them and stuff. It's just like, that doesn't work. He's a hillbilly, he's a cowboy. And Eddie Kingston, that didn't work. They picked the wrong guys. If they had picked the right people for that group right there would have been gold. Because that was legit interesting and kind of artsy and weird and different and unique. I still say Retribution would have worked. But it would have only worked if they were multi-branded rebels who just showed up and did things to good guys and bad guys. Heels and faces. Just disruptors. You could eventually had some people break out of the ranks, yeah. For the time being, they should have just been disruptors. Now, see, here's a perfect example. We have Derek in the chat room saying, well, I was rooting for Ali. I can't root for him now. This is what I mean. Ali kills himself with stupid things like this. Now, you have a right to your opinion. Everybody has a right to their opinion. So let's say Ali's opinion is Jackson Riker is an idiot for saying that. But he should be smart enough to say he probably sees it differently than me. Okay, I'm smart enough to say maybe Ali takes a look at this and says it was only a small percentage of people who caused riots. And I'm not for the riots. Let's say he's not for the riots, totally against them. But he feels that Riker's statements painted everybody with a broad brush. But so did yours. So you're no better. Because maybe Riker was talking specifically about the people who caused the riots. And not the people who are just protesting. See, that's the problem. People automatically think, if you don't agree with me, you must be an evil, horrible, terrible person. And you need to be called out for that. No, that's not true. See, that premise that's a false premise. And I do not like professional wrestlers or professional athletes or professional entertainers getting involved in that crap to a large degree when their fan bases are mixed. Simple as that. But sticking just strictly to wrestling, would it be better if Ali won? Probably. Because at least it would mean Retribution would have a champion in their midst. But all that would mean is we're going to get this drug out. Where we're going to get this Retribution and Ali's the leader and things are going well for a little while. I don't want to see things go well for a little while in Retribution. I want them disbanded and restarted if that's what's going to happen. Kick Ali to the curb. Let him go back to being a face. Kick Ali to the curb. Have Dijakovic and crew beat the hell out of him and say, you know, we put up with enough of you. You were the one who were telling us to follow the rules a little bit and sign the WWE contract and not be that disruptive and try to work our way, network our way into titles and things. We don't care. We were never about that. Then I'll buy it. He's just not the guy. He's a good athlete. He doesn't have the charisma. And he's just not that threatening. It's 170 pounds soaking wet. Braun Strowman should be able to run through all of them by himself, but certainly kill Ali. So where does that leave us? That leaves us Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. Boy, I can't wait for this match. Now, I'm not trying to be a partisan here, but I'm just telling you from the perspective of somebody who grew up in a Celtic household, Irish. I have obviously a lot of ancestors who are Irish. I know a lot of Scottish people. And they like to get it on, I'm telling you. And I know that these two guys are just going to let it go. And I know they're going to think it's fun. Because I know people like this. And I'm telling you, this is going to be a great match. It's just, by their very nature, they're just going to let it go. Now, I'm sure they've been told to be careful because they don't need Drew McIntyre hurt for WrestleMania. I'm sure they have some restrictions. But that's one of your better friends. No matter whether you're Sheamus or Drew, you're looking across the ring at one of your better friends, they're going to take care of you. But they're also not going to insult you by pitter-pattering you either. And they're going to want to try to steal the show. And truthfully, there's a couple of matches on here they're going to have to overcome to do it. So if you think the first or second one was good, they're going to go all out here. And this is a no-holds-barred match. I'm expecting nothing less than a very strong candidate for match of the year. And I could not be happier for Sheamus, because I'm telling you, it wasn't 3 months ago we were reporting this could be his final run. This is a guy who loves wrestling, obviously. Has had a lot of injuries. Probably looking at his final run. Might have to be used sparingly in a tag team. Might not be able to do anything too strenuous. And what does the son of a bitch do? He has the courage to say, if this is my final run, I'm going out with a bang. Caution to the wind, let's do it. Now, there's going to be some people who say that's stupid, but I respect the hell out of that. And he's having his best run. Sheamus is going to be remembered for this run. And this run is going to be what makes Sheamus much more legendary than he would have been. Because I don't know any wrestling fans who are saying anything bad about this. Everyone is saying, wow, man, Sheamus just turned it up to, 11. It's amazing what he's doing. And it really is. It really is. Because there's a lot of people who would have said, well, I'm going to try to stretch my career out as long as I can, so put me in a tag team. I'll do my 2 minutes and a half. Don't give me anything strenuous to do. Maybe I can stretch another 5-year contract or 3-year contract and not have so many aches and pains when I retire. That's not at all what he did. He got himself into the best shape he possibly can and said, let's go balls to the wall. And if you can't respect that, amazing run by Sheamus. And I'll be honest with you. If I were booking this match, I would somehow book it that he won. Now, maybe I'd have Lashley interfere. Since it's no holds barred, maybe I'd have some chicanery go on. But I think Sheamus deserves a victory. I really do. It would only add fuel to the fire. If Bobby Lashley in some way interfered in this match and Sheamus got the Duke, then certainly Drew McIntyre could say, you spoiled what would have been the best match of my career and one of my best victories. Going into WrestleMania, that just makes me more determined to beat his ass. So Drew would lose nothing. And Sheamus would gain something. I think Sheamus deserves it. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Drew will win. I think Sheamus understands that that's his position. But I think this is going to be some hell of a match, Mike, and you got to give a lot of credit to Sheamus because he didn't have to do this.
Right, you got to give it to Sheamus. He knows that this is his last run. And even if he doesn't, win it, he is still a hell of a run for the man. And I know they want him to be a heel, but my thing is, he's winning a lot of people. I think he's winning a lot of people over with what he's doing, with his work rate. And it's gonna be hard keeping that guy a heel, right? I mean, it really is. And the thing is I'd love to see him get together in a three-man grouping with him and what's his name and Nakamura, him and Cesaro and Nakamura. That would be a heck of a group.
I know they must have something planned for Sheamus outside of this, because there is no doubt in my mind that the WWE is fully aware that the response they're getting to Sheamus's run is way, way, way more than they ever thought. I don't think they thought anything like this was going to happen. I thought they probably thought, well, we'll get a decent review of this match, and people said that was good. Instead, people were raving about it. And then the second one came, and it was just as good. And people are saying this is the best Sheamus has ever looked. And if the WWE doesn't take advantage of this, there's a really strong argument that you could make Sheamus a very strong face if you wanted to, yes. Because people are respecting the hell out of him at this point. And rightfully so. Sometimes that happens. I'll give you a case in point. I forget exactly which territory it happened in. But Roddy Piper was a heel, and probably the top heel in that federation at the time, in that territory. And there was an incident outside the arena in which apparently somebody was attempting to abduct a young fan. And Piper ended up getting, I think, stabbed, attempting to stop it, which he did stop it. And there's no choice. I mean, it hit the papers. What are you going to do? You going to boo the man? So they knew they had to turn him face. Sometimes real life things have to turn you face, because there's just no way. They're not going to boo you anymore. They're just not going to. And this is the thing with Sheamus. It's very hard to believe Sheamus is going to get booed. You're not hearing anybody's, you know, criticisms of Sheamus. Everything is, oh, man, he's doing great. He's doing fantastic. He's on the run of his life. This is the time to take advantage. Get him done with McIntyre. Most people are going to root for McIntyre, but they're not going to boo Sheamus. Get him done with McIntyre and set him up with somebody. Set him up with somebody that the fans don't like. And watch what happens. Because if Sheamus can beat the hell out of guys you don't like he's beating the hell out of McIntyre, that's your guy. That's your guy where you say, even if Sheamus doesn't win, that other guy is going to be like, Jesus Christ. You know, I hurt from head to toe. So that's the kind of guy you want coming out of that curtain to take on the bad guys at this point. So I think they should. I really would. I'd finish up with Drew here. And regardless of what the outcome is, let's slide him into a program with some guys. Maybe in the mid-card for now, and then work your way up a little bit. Okay, you know, he's not going to reach the pinnacle, but work the mid-card a little bit to the upper mid-card. And then anybody that gets over on Sheamus, people are going to say, well, that guy's pretty tough. He got over on Sheamus. It's a no-lose situation for the WWE. No lose. However, I do think McIntyre's going to win this, Mike, because, you know, going into WrestleMania, I don't think they want McIntyre to have a loss, even if it is one of these weird losses where there's interference or something.
Right. Right. And that's the thing. I don't think he's going to be something weird happen. You know, I can see something happening with, even though we haven't seen them together as of late, something weird happening with because it's gonna be McIntyre and Lashley at some point, that the Hurt Business gets involved or something, you know. And as far as Sheamus goes, you know, we've talked about it before, how we need that guy. when I say that guy is the guy that, you know, when you hear that music, whoever he's against, he's going to get, that other guy's going to, he may win, the other guy may win the match, but he's going to get his ass beat in winning that match. They're threatening, with the way Sheamus is going right now, they're threatening to have Sheamus be that guy, that when you hear that music, the other guy's going to say, I'm in trouble.
I think he can be that guy for a short period of time. And the beauty of that is, once again, if you work the mid-card that way and the upper mid-card, anybody that gets by Sheamus, you automatically deem to be worthy of the main event because you're like, wow, he got by Sheamus. Okay. You know what I mean? So that's a good way to use him. We'll see what happens. This is going to be a very interesting pay-per-view. I got to tell you that I went from almost no interest in this pay-per-view to probably 80% of these matches I'm very interested in. And I think this could be a sleeper pay-per-view because as I'm looking through this card, I'm saying to myself, look, Seth Rollins and Nakamura could steal this show very easily. Big E and Apollo could steal this show very easily. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus could steal this show very easily. Roman and Bryan could steal this show very easily. There's four matches that could steal this show. And four very interesting matches. So let's get to Roman and Bryan because I think there's quite a bit that can happen here. I don't know where the hell this thing is going, but I know it has to pretty much be going to a three-way dance at WrestleMania. And my thought process is when they're bringing up this tapping thing constantly, I'm seeing this scenario in my head where Edge and Jey Uso cause some kind of distraction on the outside of the ring. The referee is distracted. Roman Reigns is clearly tapping out, but there's no referee to see it. Daniel Bryan blames Edge. There's a big issue there. Roman Reigns ends up winning somehow. And Daniel Bryan blames Edge for the loss and says, you did that on purpose because you don't want to face me at WrestleMania because I'm basically you're a coward. You came back and you don't want to fight anybody that has the technical expertise of me. So you went with Roman Reigns because you think he's the easy target. And I don't respect that. And then Edge saying, if that's what you really think, add your ass to the match. I really think we're going to get something like that. Because I don't know why you'd be talking about all this tap-out thing unless it's going to factor in somehow. And that's the only way I can get it, see that it would factor in without Daniel Bryan getting the belt. So call it fantasy booking or call it a prediction. But I think at some point we're going to clearly see Roman Reigns tapping. But the referee's not going to see it. Daniel Bryan, for whatever reason, is going to blame Edge. And Edge and Bryan are going to get into it. And that is going to lead Edge to finally say, then add yourself to the match. Because otherwise, what are we doing all this for? For Daniel Bryan to just lose and say, okay, I lost. Good luck at WrestleMania, Edge. That's going to be the payoff? How's that the payoff? That would be the worst payoff in the history of professional wrestling. Because technically, Daniel Bryan's more popular than Edge. It's right now. So he's got to be added to this match. I don't think they'll turn Edge heel in the sense that Edge purposely cost Daniel Bryan this match. I think Edge is going to be trying to do the right thing. He's going to be trying to keep Jey Uso out of the ring or whatever it happens to be, but inadvertently it is going to cost Daniel Bryan the belt. And Daniel Bryan's going to rightfully point out, you didn't have to stick your nose in at all. You didn't have to come up with some special enforcer rule. We didn't need all this crap. All I needed was my match, but you couldn't keep your nose out of it. To which Edge could say, and all I wanted was my match, and you had to sneak yourself in ahead of me and couldn't keep your nose out of it. I think there'll be dissension in the ranks, but it won't be either guy being a heel. It'll just be we're having a major disagreement. and Reigns will be the main heel. And then it's up to your perspective whether you want to root for Edge or Daniel Bryan, which is a very, very, very good storyline. And could legitimately be a really, really, really good WrestleMania match. But I see no way Daniel Bryan just loses clean and this is the end of the Daniel Bryan storyline with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I do not see that happening because there's just no payoff there. So, Mike, I think that Roman Reigns will keep the belt. But I think this is the beginning of Daniel Bryan being added to WrestleMania.
I think it is, too. And you're absolutely right. I don't see it going any other way than what you just outlined, you know. Think about it. That you can have a 10, 15, 20-minute match with these guys, okay? But the yes lock is basically a rest hold, right? Yes, they call it a give-up hold, but it's basically a rest hold, right? So you can have him, you know, have Daniel Bryan have it on him for three, four minutes as the referee's got his back turned to him and Roman is tapping out within those 3 or 4 minutes, but the referee doesn't see it. You see? See there? And that's how it's likely going to go, and it's going to get added to the match. And that's right. And so again, that is going the tap out is going to factor into it, as well as this whole thing with the special enforcers. I mean, every time we've seen these special enforcers for these matches, these special enforcers have factored into the match somehow.
Right. Yeah, it has to. Why bring up tap outs? Why bring up all this? Why bring up I'd rather die than to tap out? It's got to factor in. Now, there's no way Roman Reigns is tapping out and losing the belt. So, quite obviously, if he taps, the referee's not seeing it. If the referee's not seeing it, it's probably because the special enforcers are battling on the outside of the ring, and the referee's distracted, and it just makes perfect sense. It's pretty much Wrestling 101. But as much as it's Wrestling 101, it still works. Yeah, it works every time. It's just your tried-and-true wrestling angle. And the smartest thing that WWE will ever do is add Daniel Bryan to this match because I'm telling you it needs it. I'm telling you it needs it. I watched Edge and Jey Uso. It was an okay match, but you could see Edge was clearly gassed. And this is a TV match that went 8 minutes. Don't we want WrestleMania to go 15 or 20? I mean, Edge hasn't wrestled in two or three years. Daniel Bryan has. So you could do a lot of stuff with Daniel Bryan while Edge is resting. The match really needs that third person for a variety of reasons. And I think this will be the beginning of it. So let's do our lock of the pay-per-view, and then we will do the match we are most looking forward to. My lock of the pay-per-view, I could go with the easy one and say there's no match between Alexa Bliss. It's just going to be the Fiend showing up, but I won't do that. My lock of the pay-per-view is this is tough. My lock of the pay-per-view will be Roman Reigns walks out with the belt. It pretty much has to be. You're not going to switch the belt before WrestleMania. No matter what it takes, he's walking out with the belt. I don't know how he's winning it. But regardless of how he's winning it, there's no way Roman Reigns loses his belt tonight. They wouldn't want to show Roman Reigns lose prior to WrestleMania. So that's my lock of the pay-per-view, Mike. I think that it's kind of an easy one, but some of these are tough.
My lock of the pay-per-view is those two military guys will factor in between Big E and Apollo Crews. Yeah, Big E will win it, but they will factor into that match.
I hope so, because I'm intrigued by the idea that we came up with that if those guys are going to be constant interference, I have a couple of friends too. because I think that would be a very strong way of reuniting the New Day, even if it's just for one pay-per-view or whatever, that people would say, this is going to be fun. So, yeah, I'm all for that. I hope that happens. Now, the one I'm most looking forward to is Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, because I already know what's going to happen. I've already seen it, and I understand where they're going to go with it. I know these guys. Believe me, I know what's going through their mind, and they're just saying, let's steal this show. Let's go out there and just – we want the internet buzzing about us tomorrow. I know they're going to do it. I just know they're going to, and it should be fun. This should be a hell of a lot of fun. But I'm actually looking forward to a lot of these matches. This is a pay-per-view I'm actually anticipating, which is, for me, sometimes I'm watching it saying, I got to watch it. I got to report on it. There's one match I want to see, but the rest of them I can live with or without. No, there's a good portion of these matches I'm actually looking forward to as a wrestling fan, because I think we're going to see good stuff. But McIntyre and Sheamus, that's up my alley, Mike. I just think this is going to be, I think it's going to be special. How about you?
I think it's going to be special as well. And to tell you the truth, you know, I think because I mean, it could be overbooking, but because we know where this is headed with Sheamus and Lashley, not Sheamus, but McIntyre and Lashley, we know where this is headed. Well, I wouldn't be at all surprised that at least we might possibly see Lashley, but we might very well see during this match at some point MVP.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that could happen in this match. That's what I'm saying. I don't know where this is going. Now, certainly Nakamura and Seth is going to be great. I do think Big E and Apollo are going to light it up. I just think that we've got a chance to see a 4-star pay-per-view tonight. There's a couple of these matches I'm not too invested in. The Women's Tag Team Championship match, I don't really care. Riddle and Ali, I don't really care. Bliss and Orton's not going to be a match. So this is going to be important because I want to see how they reintroduce the Fiend. And by that I mean this. You've been saying, and Alexa Bliss has been saying, and the WWE has been saying, when they come back, when the Fiend comes back, he's going to be different. It's going to be a form you've never seen before. Well, it better be. Because if it's the exact same costume, the exact same outfit, the exact same everything, people are going to be like, what? And this had to do with what then? He was set on fire and what? Something more has to happen. There has to be another chapter to the story. And it's got to start here. So if he comes back tonight, it's got to be a little more special. It's got to be a little bit of a different look, maybe a little bit of a different feel, maybe a little more violent, maybe something. Something major has to happen. It can't be, I showed up and Sister Abigail, Randy Orton. That's not enough. Something has to happen where you say, oh, shit. I did not see that coming. In other words, we got to have one of those oh hell moments to really sell the Fiend's return. That's very important. Because if he just shows up and Sister Abigail's there and leaves him laying there and the lights go out, like it's whatever. Same old, same old. It has to be bigger than that. It has to be something that leaves us saying, I can't wait for tomorrow night to see what happened. That's their job. So I'm anticipating that too, Mike. I think they probably do have something planned because from what I hear, the Fiend was ready to come back 2 or 3 times and Vince McMahon nixed it saying, let's wait, let's wait, let's wait. So the only reason I can think of them waiting is they wanted that one special moment and they must think this is it.
Yes, I think this is it. I mean, yeah, you'd like to see that type of thing. I would like to see it in the pay-per-view. Because generally speaking, that's the type of thing that would end the pay-per-view. But with what we're expecting from McIntyre and Sheamus, they can't be nothing but a pay-per-view ender. So one half, six of one, one half dozen of the other. I'd like I said, I'd like to see that same thing in the pay-per-view. And like you said, I just, he's got to look, I don't want to say radically different, but somewhat different than he's looked before. If you just change,
radically, I don't think radical, but he's got to do something. Even if he shows up and he looks basically the same, there's got to be an action. There's got to be something that you say, oh, shit, it's more than just a Sister Abigail. Something's got to happen that you say, what just happened? You know, something important. Something's got to happen to Randy Orton. Something's got to happen that involves Alexa Bliss. Something has to happen that you're just like, what? Oh, shit, I thought he was just going to show up and beat Randy Orton. I didn't think this was going to happen. Something that makes you say, I got to tune in Monday night to get the second part of this. Now, let's hope it's not cartoonish. Let's hope they don't go crazy with this. Because I've had some people suggest Randy Orton is actually going to give her that punt that put so many people out, and she's just going to, like, no-sell it. Like, you know, oh, you didn't even touch me. He's going to do it again, and she's going to no-sell it. And then the lights are going to come out, and it's going to be the Fiend in that position. Let's not do that. You can't have Alexa Bliss no-sell that. You can't. Because then what's the Fiend supposed to do, sell it? If Alexa Bliss can no-sell it, how come the Fiend can't? So you can't do that. So I pray that's not the case. I pray it's not cartoonish, but I pray it's serious enough or dramatic enough to make everybody say, oh, shit, I didn't see it coming. Don't know what it will be exactly, but, I mean, you know, if you put the mind of Bray Wyatt and some of these writers together, Mike, I'm sure they could come up with something.
I'm pretty sure they could come up with something as well. And, that I mean, basically, I don't want to say you've been writing the whole, all of it, but I would say probably about 85% of what we've seen so far is Bray Wyatt writing it, right?
I would assume he has quite a bit of control, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got that going on, and think about it. I mean, he's a very creative guy. I mean, and we've said it before that he has a future as somebody in creative, right?
You would think. I mean, I don't know what his ability is to create anything that's not bizarre, but maybe he does. But for this character, I think the reason, I know there's going to be a lot of people saying he doesn't have 85% control. Yeah, I think he does. And I'll tell you why he does, because I don't think anybody really knows how to write for this. I think Vince McMahon is probably looking at it saying, I don't even know what the hell this is, but it's working, and apparently he knows what it is, so check it with him. If it's cool with him, it's cool with us. I really think that, because a lot of this stuff does not scream normal WWE writing. Now, yeah, losing to Seth Rollins and Hell in a Cell, that wasn't his decision, I can tell you that. Losing to Goldberg wasn't his decision, I can tell you that. The wins and losses aren't his decision. But I think the creative stuff, the Firefly Funhouse stuff, the costuming, the phrasing and stuff like that, I think that's a lot of that's Bray Wyatt. I think a tremendous amount is. I don't think the writers are creative enough to do it. Now, he might consult with some of them or co-write some of it with some of them. Or make sure it's okay for TV with some of them. I think he has mostly creative control over that. Anyway, folks, enjoy the pay-per-view. We'll be back here at noon tomorrow to tell you how we thought it went. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.